Welcome to Higher Ground Ministries, where we believe God's Word still speaks today. Our mission is to teach the truth of God's Word from generation to generation, building up believers and reaching hearts with the hope of Christ. Each week, we share messages from our church services, praying they strengthen your faith and encourage your heart. Join us in person or online Sundays at 10 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. For more information, visit hgministries.org.
I want you to go to Matthew. Go to Matthew 18. Matthew 18, while you're turning there. I want to kind of rehearse a few things that we've been going over the last few weeks. And of course, you know, Easter is coming up on us really quick. It's amazing how fast time is going by right now. So next week is Palm Sunday, and then the following week is Easter. So usually around this time of year, I start my Easter series. And I was praying about this, and I want to stay in the same, you know, topic series that we've been on, but also bring Easter into this as well. So I got thinking about, you know, the anointing and one of the great ways of getting and protecting and keeping the anointing in our lives. And of course, I was thinking about, obviously, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and Easter coming. And of course, you know, on Resurrection Sunday, we deal with and we talk about, you know, Jesus going to the cross, and he dealt with many things. He said a lot of things. You know, when I say he said a lot of things, he really didn't say all that much once he was arrested. But the things that he said were powerful. Now, there were certain statements that he made, and we'll deal with this, you know, in the next couple of services as we get closer. But, you know, in the garden, he said, "Father, not my will, but thine be done." Amen. That's something we should live by. God, what's your will? What do you want me to do? Amen. And because he said that and shed his blood, it gives us the power and the authority to be able to do that. You know, he said, "It is finished." He said that from the cross. Now, what was that? The finished work of Christ, Calvary. Everything that allowed and purchased for you and I to be able to go to heaven, be reconciled back to God. Thank you, Jesus. He went all the way. Because even the scriptures say that he at any time could have called down legions of angels, which would have wiped out this planet, and they wouldn't have even thought twice about it. That's how powerful these angels are. But he didn't. He went all the way. So when he said, "It is finished," he completed what he came to this earth to do. Thank you, Jesus, he did for us. Amen. That's why we can say that's part of our testimony. We're heaven bound now, no longer hell bound. Amen. But then also from the cross, he made this statement, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He said, "Forgive," which means if he's our example, he's the standard. That's a better way to say it. He's the standard. We're to be examples, but like the Apostle Paul said, you follow me as I follow him. If I'm not following him and I don't look like him, don't follow me. If I sound not like him, don't listen to what I'm saying. No, but as I follow him, you follow me. So we're to be examples, but he's the standard. And he said, "Father, forgive them." Can you? We can't. Even though I think, well, I can imagine. No, you can't. Nope. Thinking about where he was at that moment. See, we've got these churchy little religious pictures of Jesus and hanging on the cross, and, you know, he looks a certain way. Isaiah said he didn't even look like a human with what they did to him. And yet, in his dying breaths, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now, I don't want to overread or overstate what the scriptures are saying or what they're trying to say, but I got a feeling, had Jesus not said that, I think God may have had a moment. He's dealt with people before. He's going to deal with people again. Now, I'm not trying to make the scripture say something they're not saying, but I don't know about you, but if that was my child, and I had all power, because Paul, the Apostle Paul, uses this word a couple of times through the epistles, propitiation. Now, people have different ways they may say that. It's a hard word to say. It's not a common word that we use. But because of what Christ did on the cross, that word carries powerful significance to you and I today. Powerful significance to this world, even though they mock our God, mock our Christ. It means that God's wrath was appeased, but for a moment. See, most people miss that last part, but for a moment. But his wrath was appeased. When Jesus said, Father, forgive them, it put God's wrath on pause for a moment. Doesn't mean that God doesn't deal with things, because he does. We've got many stories, accounts that we can see God still dealing with things. But the wrath of God, dealing with sin and sinful man and the nature, has been appeased but for a moment because of what Jesus did. And when he said, Father, forgive them, God's wrath was put on stay, put on pause, that you and I could do what God has called us to do through the Great Commission, to preach, to teach, to bring the gospel to everybody, that there's a way out of this, that God doesn't want you to be here for this. God will deal with things one day. That's coming rapidly. As the things in Iran are escalating. I don't know. This isn't a fear thing. This should be a sobering thing. This better be a reality check to the body of Christ. We don't know where this goes, but we know where this says it can head. If this is it, if these are the moments, this could lead to. And, you know, Israel just struck their oil, one of the largest oil refineries on the planet. They did that on their own. Even our president's like, hey, listen, I got no problem saying that we bombed. We had no part in that. You think the world's not going to retaliate? Because that just sent everything into an upheaval across the globe. You think some people that were allies are going to say, wait, what are you doing? We don't know where this could go. Well, let me rephrase that. We don't know where it's going this moment, but we know where it's heading. Yes. World War III could be initiated, which the scriptures tell us that could be the final thing, and you and I are gone. That's a good thing for us. That's a terrifying thing for the world. Because once the church is removed, God begins dealing with this earth. Yes. So, we know there's some events according to the scriptures that are coming that have to take place. Right now, it looks like they're being set up like never before. And if that is, then we got to get some things checked out, in line, fixed with God quickly. Yes. Amen? Yes. Because that will initiate not the battle of Armageddon. That'll initiate God. But God's going to deal with some things. But I want to go back to Jesus said, Father, forgive them. The scriptures, I think you understand this. I hope you understand this. There are hundreds of verses dealing with forgiveness. Our entire Bible, the theme is forgiveness, which leads to redemption because of Christ. That's the entire heart of the scriptures. Every story, every account leads to that. That you and I would find ourselves in a place one day that we understand, wait a minute, we've been forgiven. But hopefully, leading us to, okay, we've been forgiven, therefore we should be forgiving. Amen. Topic. I will not exhaust this morning. I can't. I don't have enough time. And I only have 10 minutes of your time. So I don't know which 10 I have of yours, but in Jesus' name, may the Holy Spirit deal with all of us this morning and help us this morning. Amen. So messages that I know we have to deal with, because if we're going to get anointing and stay in that anointing, forgiveness is one of the great keys. Amen. Amen. Now, of course, Isaiah 10:27, it shall come to pass in that day. Of course, I've been saying that day is the day that you realize you can't do this without the anointing. Yes. Now, yes, there's a prophetic meaning behind this, which has come and taken place. But for you and I, that day that we realize, when I can't do this in my own strength. Right. I appreciate the Apostle Paul. I wish people would stop misquoting him.
Come on, sir.
That's another message for another time. But still, I wish people would stop misquoting his epistles.
Yes.
But I appreciate the Apostle Paul, because at one point he makes this statement. He says, the things that I want to do, I find myself not doing. The things that I want to do, those are the things that I can't seem to get done. Right. I'm paraphrasing it. But what he's saying, he isn't writing off and giving some weird excuse that I don't have to do things or I can excuse things away. What he's saying, without God's help, I can't do the things I'm supposed to be doing. Without his help, my flesh will lead me into the things that I don't want to do. That's the heart of what he's saying. So in that day that we realize we can't do this without God, forgiveness is one of those great things that you're going to realize very quickly. Without God and without his anointing, Your flesh, the world, society, your family, traditions will tell you, don't forgive. You can't forgive. Amen. We need his anointing. Because it goes on to say that when it comes to pass in that day, that his burdens shall be taken away off of his shoulders, the yoke off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. We need God's anointing. Amen. One of the great keys to getting and keeping or getting the anointing back is learning how to walk in forgiveness. Amen. Now, forgiveness, simply put, you know, it means to no longer pursue, to no longer go after, not seeking your own vengeance, not seeking your own restitution, letting go of the charges. I like, and my pastor says it this way, no longer pursuing the person. I think that's a better word, a better phrasing, to no longer pursue. Now, the purpose of forgiving isn't for them. It's for you. Yes. It's for me. It's for us. It's not for the offender. It's for the offended. Yes. That's good. Amen. You know, my go-to for last times, end times, days and stuff, and what we're dealing with is Matthew 24. You know that. One of the final things that Jesus says after deception, after, is offense. Yes. Would be one of the greatest issues of the day. Oh, yeah. Do I have to explain that to you? Oh, my Lord, people are offended. People are offended today. They're offended with you because you're not offended with the offense that they tried to offend you with. And that's no joke. People will be offended. They'll take on offenses that they have no idea what they're offended about. They did this to our Jesus. Palm Sunday, next Sunday, we'll be dealing with this. Palm Sunday, here he comes, the triumphant entry of our King, our Lord, our Savior, into, and they're celebrating. He's the one, he's the man, he's it, we've got him, he's finally here, praise God. A week later, kill him. Literally. Same people that celebrated him one week wanted to kill him the next week. Why? Because they took on the offense of those who hated him. And all they had to do was incite the crowd. And people are taking on offense, and they have no idea why. How many, we don't know this side of heaven, but how many people in that crowd were healed, delivered, set free? We don't know how many people Jesus raised from the dead. How many dead-bound people there were raised from the dead, but yet they're saying, kill him, crucify him. Why? Because of offense. Because unforgiveness will bring you to that place of offense. Offense will bring you to that place of bitterness. And once bitterness takes root, even the medical journals, not that long ago, within the last decade, it's amazing. Medical has finally caught up to what God said thousands of years ago. But the medical journals have declared, stated, in all of our studies, we've finally proven that people who live in unforgiveness have a higher, greater chance of contracting or getting cancer than those who live in forgiveness. Wow. Medical has proven that. Well, God said that thousands of years ago. But we don't, until we prove it. Well, we can prove it right here in our churches. By how people act, what they do, their lifestyles, when they won't let go of offenses. Yes. When they won't deal with and live in forgiveness like Jesus said to. Amen? Amen. So forgiveness, again, it's not for the person who offended. It's for the one who was offended. The one that was wrong, the one that was hurt, the one that was betrayed, the one that was, it's for you and me. Amen. Now, this morning, I just want to deal with us. We're not dealing with them. Right. We'll deal with them in another message because the Bible has a lot to say on how to deal with them, absolutely, how you handle them, if there's any chance of restoration for them, what the procedures, what you're supposed to do. The Bible is crystal clear on what to do with, how to handle, when to separate, when to let go, when to hand over about these matters. But you will never handle any of those biblically, scripturally, righteously until you deal with yourself first. Amen. Until you learn how to walk in proper biblical forgiveness like Jesus did. Because if it were up to us, Lord, I forgive them, kill them. We'd kill everybody.
Yeah.
Or we'd ask God to.
Yeah.
Thank God God didn't leave it up to us. We'd claim the biggest churches on the planet, but we'd have the largest cemeteries right behind us. Amen. So a couple of quick verses just dealing with this. You know, in Proverbs 24, verse 20, I'm getting to Matthew. But in Proverbs 24, 29, it says, and don't say, this is a modern translation, don't say, now I can pay them back for what they've done to me. I will get even with them. That's the wrong attitude. See, a heart that's forgiving doesn't think that way. Now, what that doesn't say is, it doesn't say, I've got to deal with them. I won't deal with them. No, we got to deal with them. We got to deal with that. We got to fix. We got to do. But we got to do it this way.
Yes.
But we got to deal with this one first. Amen. Proverbs 10:12, another modern translation. Hate stirs up trouble, but love forgives all offenses. Romans 12:17-18, another modern translation. Never pay back evil for evil, or evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Well, the only way you're going to do this is if you learn how not to pursue people, not to get even with. They did, so I'll do. They mouth off, so I'll mouth off. They offended, so I have a right to offend. After all, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Yeah, well, you're going to have a bunch of blind, gummy people walking around. That's all you're going to end up with, especially the day that we live in. So forgiveness is letting go of the charges. It's not pursuing. What it's not condoning what they've done. What it's not is saying it's okay, agreeing with what they've done.
Right.
What it's not is compromising because of what they've done. That's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness does not say that I'll only forgive because they've repented. And that ain't forgiveness either. Forgiveness is I let go of the charges regardless if they ever repent. It does not say, forgiveness does not say that it's fixed, they're fixed, or we're fixed. Forgiving is not forgetting. The Apostle Paul, at the end of his life, as he's going towards his execution, he says to Timothy, one of his last epistles, to what appears in his writing, it seems like the last son that he seems that he's got. And what does he say? Watch out for. He did us much evil. Alexander the coppersmith. He called him out. He said, you better watch out for him. He's dangerous. He's done the body. He's done the work. A lot of danger. Watch out for him and watch out for those that are with him. So even the Apostle Paul, he's like, no. How about David? Now, yes, we know that King David is, you know, before Jesus. But God said he's a man after my own heart. David went through a lot of things. David put up with a lot of things. David seemed like he ignored a lot of things. But at the end of his life, he told Solomon, all right, I'm leaving. I couldn't deal with these things. You know what they did. Go deal with it. You know what he did. Deal with him. God said it's time for you to deal with them. So forgiving is not forgetting. This is not get even with. But the point is, it's not forgetting. You know why? Because you and I are not God. Only God can forget if he chooses to. You and I can't. We're not God. We weren't designed to be God. However, we got to learn how to forgive and walk in forgiveness. Amen. Forgiving is not allowing access right away or ever again to the offender. It's not. It is not saying you're okay or you're okay with them. There's a lot of people I'm not okay with. I don't have to be. I love them, but God never said I have to like them. I love them. I want them to go to heaven. Therefore, I'm not going to pursue them.
Right.
I'm going to pray for them.
Yes.
But I don't like a thing about them, and I don't like a thing that they're doing.
Right.
But I'm keeping my attitude right that, Lord, I don't have to like them.
Right.
Because I know there was a point that you didn't like me. Thank God you loved me. And this isn't about like. Right?
Yes.
So, these are some of the things, and there's more, but these are some of the things that forgiveness is not. Because we've got people twisting things, changing things, adjusting things, and saying, oh, no, no, you're supposed to forgive and forget. You cannot find that verse anywhere in the scriptures. Because it doesn't exist. Because we're not God. Yes, we need to forgive. But you and I can't forget. Come on. And God didn't tell you to forget. Because the moment you forget and they haven't changed, you're going right back to that offense. That would kind of call you stupid. You know, there's a reason why Jesus said, turn the other cheek. I joke around not being offensive, but if you're that thick up here, well, keep turning. You got four of them. I hope sooner or later you learn to stop going back and being that doormat, which is another thing that forgiveness does not make you. It doesn't make you a doormat to just let people beat you up and use you and abuse you, lie about you, slander you. No, that's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is you dealing with you and allowing God to deal with you so you no longer hold them in the prison of your heart. Or you give them free board and room in your mind. Amen. Forgiveness deals with us. Forgiveness allows us to continue to walk in and have that anointing flowing in our lives. Amen. Forgiveness is for the believer, and it's not for the pursuer. But pursuing, let me redo that. Forgiveness is for the believer, not for the pursuing of the offender, but for the pursuing of Christ to heal the offense.
Yes, that's good.
See, when you learn how to walk in forgiveness, it takes God. Some of you have some horrific stories, betrayals, and issues, and problems, and stuff you've gone through, stuff you've experienced, and listen. There are some things that people have experienced that without God, I'm just going to tell you, in the flesh, it's impossible. In your flesh, because your flesh won't let you. But with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
That God will help heal you. Now, listen, it's easy for me to stand up here and say, you have no idea how bad it is. You have no idea until you're a pastor, because pastors have to deal with. There's a little bit of truth to that, because you've got just your little world. I've got all of this. And some of you, be grateful I know how to walk in forgiveness. Because there have been people through our doors I don't like. Be grateful I love you. That's the only reason why you're still allowed to come here. Because you say the dumbest things. You act ridiculous. You put yourself in positions and places you should not be, that you have no authority, right, or understanding about anything that's going on. You create more issues and problems for pastors. But I love you. I know that sounds a little sarcastic, and a little bit of it is, but the truth of the matter is, it's true. Because when we walk in forgiveness, we look at those different things, just like Jesus said, Father, forgive them because they know not what they do. I have to do that every time that somebody does, says, I'm like, Lord, forgive them. I'm not saying, Lord, you forgive them. That's me going, Lord, help me to forgive them.
Yes.
Because they don't know what they're doing. They don't realize that they're acting like the world.
Right.
That part of them hasn't been purged out of them yet. That part of them, they haven't been sanctified in that area. They haven't, I don't know, they're not listening. Of course, it would help if they show up to be able to listen. Because they only grace us with their attendance every once in a while. And they think they're the most spiritual people in the house. There's a reason why we have so many services, because we understand the day we live in. Not everybody can be here on a Sunday morning. That's why we do it. So don't overread. Well, they weren't here on Sunday. They weren't here on Tuesday. He's talking about them. No. If you're thinking that way, I'm talking about you. No, we understand the day we live in. This is why we've got so many services, because for that reason, because I want to make sure that everybody has access to the same God that you do.
Yes.
Amen. The same word that you do. And I'm willing to, Lord, help me to forgive, because they just don't seem to get it. But Lord, help us all to get it.
Amen.
Amen. Again, forgiveness isn't dealing with the offender. It's dealing with you. We got to get that part down. It's dealing with you. Jesus said in the last days, offense is going to run rampant. If you don't learn how to deal with you, you're going to live a miserable Christian life. Because you need to settle this now. People love offense.
Yes.
The world seems to thrive in offense. And that's where you and I live today, even in the Christian nation. So we just need to settle with, all right, Lord, I need to learn how to walk in forgiveness. Anoint me to walk in forgiveness and help me to stay walking in forgiveness. Amen. So we don't have to deal with these issues and these problems in my life. I can't stop what they're doing.
Right.
You can't stop what they're doing. You can only adjust what you're doing.
Amen.
And what you're thinking and how you're feeling. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. I do realize that some of these things it's going to meddle with some people. Well, you have no idea. You're right. I don't, nor do I care. I can't believe a pastor would say that. I'm not saying it because I don't care and I have no compassion. But I'm sorry, my brain always goes to, you think you've got it bad? Did they nail you to a cross? Did they beat you to the point where your flesh is hanging off of you? They drive nails through your hands and feet, drive a crown of thorns through your skull? He did that for you and he did nothing wrong. And he did that for you and I because we've done things wrong. There's always somebody who's got it worse and somebody who's always got it better. Just settle that now.
Yes.
There's always somebody who's been, attacked more than you or less than you. There will always be. So settle that now.
Yes.
I do care. That's why I'm preaching this.
Right.
Because, yes, God told me, but I'm preaching this because I had to get here. Despite what people think about me,
yep.
I'm not 100% there. I know that. That's why I'm like the Apostle Paul. Lord, help me with this. Because without you, I'm going to find myself back in that spot. I can preach this right now, despite what I'm saying and what some of you are thinking. I don't have a person on my mind right now. I'm not thinking about an individual. Let me just deal with them right now. It's my pulpit. I can attack them right now. That's how some of you think I preach. That's how some people on the stream think I preach. No offense, sweetheart. Buckaroo. You're nobody. To me. That doesn't mean I don't love you, I'm not praying for you, but you're nobody to me. You don't come to our church.
Right.
You don't help us with the ministry. You don't sow into the ministry. You're trying to tear down ministries.
Okay. Yep.
And this is all over the planet. So again, I'm not thinking of any individual. I'm just thinking about the offenders out there. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they're doing. Because the moment I give heed to that, I will spend the rest of my life giving heed to that. I've dealt with that years ago. You know why? Because my introduction to the pastorate was a whole bunch of offended people who hated me. But yet yesterday they loved me. One of them, in fact, even said, oh no, we said all this stuff. We know none of it's true. We just don't like you. We don't want you. We want you gone. Welcome to pastoring. Thank you, God, for calling me to this. Thank God that I went through a lot of things and dealt with things early, because pastoring today, I'd say, no, I'm done. God, they're your people. They're not mine.
Right.
You send somebody else. Thank God for the few that seem to like me, but everybody else, they just stare and glare at me, and I'm pretty sure they're scheming against me, so I'm not saying that as like I'm the victim. Because that got thrown at me about a year ago. Oh, he gets up there and preaches like he's the victim. No, I'm preaching where I'm living.
Yes.
So you can see, listen, you're not exempt. I'm not exempt. God said his anointing will bring you to the same place.
Yes.
I don't hate anybody. I'm praying for everyone.
Yes.
I just don't care what anybody has to say.
Oh,
except for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But I got to stay under that anointing, walk in forgiveness. Otherwise, I'll start caring. And that'll meddle with, that'll mess with, that'll deal with me. And that'll cause issues and problems in my life.
Yes.
So this forgiveness helps us to stay in that anointing, to walk under that anointing. Go and study this. Some of you will, most of you won't. Jesus only said forgive them once that I can find in the scriptures. Jesus didn't walk around saying, I forgive you. Now I know somebody, oh, no, he said it to the woman. No. I'm talking about the Pharisees.
Yes.
I'm talking about the Sadducees. I'm talking about the scribes. I'm talking about the officials that were trying to destroy his ministry, trying to tear him down, trying to deal with him, trying to disrupt him. You won't find one place in the scriptures where he said, I forgive you. I forgive you. Just keep doing what you're doing. I forgive you. No, he dealt with them.
Yes.
Why? Because he couldn't be offended. He wasn't offended by them. Now, he taught his disciples, who were very easily offended. He taught his disciples, listen, this is why, this is how. You got to deal with this, because if you don't deal with this, this will deal with you. But he wasn't offended by any of them. He knew what they were going to do. He knew what they were thinking. He knew how they were acting. He brought warning. But he didn't have to run around saying, I forgive you, because he wasn't offended by them. He didn't condone what they were doing. But he wasn't offended by them. And I believe that's what the anointing does when you learn how to walk in forgiveness. It brings you to a place where you can't be offended. It brings you to a place where you're no longer offendable.
Yes.
Now, we still have to say, Lord, forgive them. I'm not going to pursue that. I'm not going to chase that. Lord, deal with them. I'm giving it to you. But walking in forgiveness, the anointing that forgiveness brings you to a place where you just can't be offended. I love what Brother Copeland said. You know, different leaders, different things. You know, they got their certain doctrines that some people agree with, don't agree with, and that's their whole deal. But I love this statement that he made. He said, you know what? Because Dr. Seville was trying to say, do you know what they're saying about you? Do you know what they're doing? Do you know what they're posting about you? Well, not posting in that day, writing newspapers. You know what the articles say about you? He goes, no, and I don't care. This is what he said. Dead men have no feelings. I love that statement. Because we're supposed to be dead in Christ.
Right.
Not a bunch of dead heads.
Right. Yeah.
But dead in Christ means the old man's gone.
Yes.
That part of you that could be offended's gone. That I know who I am in Christ. Jesus said, listen, they were offended with me, they're going to be offended with you.
Yes.
Deal with it. Settle it now. They're not going to like you because they don't like me.
That's it.
So I've just learned, all right, I'm not going to be offended by people.
Amen.
And I can tell you right now, when I'm done with this message in a few moments, I'm going home, I'm going to eat my lunch, I'm going to go through my day, and tonight I'm putting my head down on my pillow, and I'm going to sleep. Not tormented, not frustrated, not irritated, nobody on my mind other than my Jesus, nobody on my mind except for my wife and my kids. And Lord, thank you for protecting us, thank you for giving us another day, and Lord, if you tarry, we'll do it all again tomorrow.
Amen.
Amen. Why? Because of the anointing.
Yes.
Why? Because I've learned how to walk in forgiveness. You know where I learned it from? Watching my pastor. I learned it by watching my father-in-law, watching how he dealt with things, how he handled things. Amen. I'm grateful for that man of God who showed me how to walk in forgiveness, because I was a guy who did not walk in forgiveness. Thank God that man is dead. Amen.
Yeah.
A couple of verses I want to continue to share with you. We are going to get to Matthew because I want to read this. I really do. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through the blood and forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace.
Yes.
We forgive because we've been forgiven. That should be the motive. Especially, well, why should I forgive? There you go. You've been forgiven. Forgive.
Amen.
1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, that's you dealing with yourself. You got to go to God. Sometimes the forgiveness isn't towards others, it's towards you. But his forgiveness will bring healing and restoration in your life. Again, part of the anointing. Colossians 3:13, forbearing. Oh, that's an ugly word. Forbearing, that means putting up with one another. You know, I had this thought this morning, and I was kind of thinking about this. I'm like, you know, we know that God's kingdom is just. Unless you've ever been a pastor, you won't get this. Or a leader in the kingdom, you won't get this. His kingdom is just, but sometimes I think it's unfair. Because why am I held to a double standard when I have to deal with all of this? we've got more to deal with. And we're going to be held to a higher standard? A double judgment? Part of me wants, Lord, didn't you see what they did? He goes, so? Why do you think I called you and not them? Sometimes I think it's just not fair. I'm kind of joking around about that. But I got thinking about it. So people get this all twisted and messed up and goofed up. Because there's a level with the anointing and the office that you've been called to. There's a higher anointing. Yes. And we've got more of God's anointing because we stay in that place, in that position, to be able to do what God has called us to do. Don't covet this office. Don't ever covet. I want the pulpit. You can have it. And everybody that comes with it. And I flat out guarantee you, if you got a pastor this, and we're just a small little church, you'll turn it back over really quick when you find out what people really do, how they really think, even though they sit in church all churchy. Amen. Now, it sounds like I'm being negative. It sounds like I'm not walking, but I'm telling you, there's a reason why I come back every week. There's a reason why I pray for you every day. There's a reason why, and I'm never standing up here with a message to go after somebody. It's because of that anointing that comes with forgiveness. Because I would not be able to, any pastor who stood behind a pulpit for any length of time could tell you, if it wasn't for the anointing of God, there is no way my flesh would allow me to walk in forgiveness. It takes the anointing. And because of the anointing and that forgiveness that we're able to walk in, we're able to preach to the same person who attacked us last week, believing that God's going to deal with them this week, that next week they're going to become that prized sheep that God wants them to be.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Well, that's not just the preacher. How about those in your life that you're attached to? How about those that you're a witness to? Same deal. Because you're going to be around people I'll never be around.
Right.
You'll be in places I'll never be. You'll be in a workplace that I'll never get to. That same anointing that's on me should be on you. Because
yes.
It's for every believer. This is why it isn't designated to the fivefold offices. All believers are called to the ministry of reconciliation. It's every believer's responsibility to point people to Jesus Christ. How are you going to do that when you're always trying to hold a grudge?
Yeah.
Get even.
Yeah.
How are you going to do that when you're posting your little rebuttal to what somebody else just said? I'll give them a piece of my mind. You might want to hang on to that. You don't have much left. And yes, I'm a witness of that. You don't have much left. Hang on to it. So, we just read Colossians, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. That means putting up with one another. You got to tolerate people. Now, tolerate does not mean be a doormat. But when you're walking together and people are growing together, there's a difference between somebody who wants to chase and cause issues. There's a difference between a sheep, a goat, and a wolf. Skilled pastors, preachers, leaders, we can identify a wolf a mile away. Oh, they may have the sheep costume on, but they got blood splattered all over the place. We know exactly who they are. We'll run them off quick. Goats are a little bit harder because goats, in the context, in this culture, this part of the world, goats looked a lot like sheep. This is why Jesus used the analogy of. But goats are different because goats love trash. They eat anything. Now, I learned this from one of my fathers in the faith. So love them while they're there, but they'll leave on their own once the trash is removed. And they'll go feed on trash somewhere else.
Oh, yeah.
But you love them. You don't hold it against them. I don't get mad when somebody leaves the church.
Right.
I wish they wouldn't. And I've also learned a long time ago not to chase.
Yes.
But the Bible says that he left the one and went after the 99. Yes, for a lost sheep.
Yes.
Not a roaming goat.
Oh, that's good. Come on, say that again.
Good, I have a couple of people here. See, I love it when my wife and Miss Ramona are both here on the same service. I missed her the last time I was up here because she's in Michigan. Thank you, Jesus, for both of you being here. No, but there's truth to that. Now, that's something to take some time learning as a pastor. Learning not to chase the roaming goat. Because generally speaking, the person who says, "Why won't they chase me?" You're a goat. A sheep doesn't realize they're lost. The sheep is trying to figure out which way to get spun back to go back to where they once were because we just don't know where we are.
Yes.
Goats know they're roaming. Wolves are grievous, vicious. They're terrorists. We run them off.
Yes.
Amen. But I don't harbor things against them. A pastor can't. Neither can believers.
Amen.
We pray for them. And again, we're talking about us right now because I could now go off into a range where we got to deal with these three individuals. We're not talking about that today. We're talking about us, dealing with us. Because what happens if that goat ever got converted and now that goat is no longer a goat but becomes a sheep? Now, I think wolves are a little bit harder, but Paul was a wolf.
Yes, he was.
And God dealt with him. He got converted on the road to Damascus, not because Jesus showed up, but the moment he said, "Lord, what must I do?"
Come on. Wow.
Yes. His heart turned right there because he didn't realize what he was doing.
That's it.
But he converted. So if we learn how to walk in forgiveness, we'll also learn how to, when people start, because this was one of the things that we dealt with our church years ago now. You know, we went through an issue in a season in our church, and a lot of people were hurt in here and offended in here, and rightfully so, but we were preaching, teaching, and I had one of those messages. Some of the people here thought it was just one of those marathon messages that John Kamensky had. He wouldn't shut up. He wouldn't stop. Come on, get over with this because we want to go home. And every time I'm like, nope, Lord's not done here. Nope, Lord's not done here. And then I made one statement. And the statement was, what are you going to do if they all walk back in with repentant hearts? The whole room sucked air because there was a lot of offense still being held here by some people of what they had got, what they did and what they caused. And I can tell you that marked this church that night because healing began here because everybody started to realize, wait a minute, I do got a problem. I'm holding this against. Who am I to hold this against? Who am I to hold unforgiveness? Amen.
Amen.
We need this anointing. We need to walk in forgiveness. Amen. Learning to forbear with one another. People are growing.
Yeah.
Have you figured that out? Not everybody's where you're at. Not everybody's as super spiritual as you are. Oh, spiritual one. Everybody's in their own walk. They're a different place. We're all running our own race. Isn't that what Jesus said?
Yes.
Through the scriptures? Now, the Apostle Paul said that, but it's inspired by God, the Holy Spirit. We're all running our own race. But your race, you're not permitted by God to run in a race that he didn't put you in. Well, I want to go on the bunny slope, and I want to stay on the bunny slope. Yeah, but you're an expert. You can't play on the bunny slope and compete with everybody else there. Go to where you're called. Now, you may have started there, but God's not giving you permission to stay there. My father-in-law took me skiing once. He brought me to the bunny slope and just left me there. I'd never skied before. He left me there, I think, for about 45 minutes. Doug was there. He left me on the bunny slope for about 45 minutes. He's like, "You got it?" And I'm like, "Sure, this is easy." Then he took me to the summit. And we're not talking about Wachusett.
No.
We're talking about Waterville Valley. Very quickly, he's like, "Somebody grab him," because nobody told me how to turn. I went straight down the mountain. I learned really quick how to ski. Anyways, I'm not holding anything against my father-in-law. I have forgiven him of that. So, no, we've all been given our own race. So this forbearing with one another, we got to give grace. Because not everybody's where you're at. But that doesn't give them permission to stay where they're at either. but your forgiveness is, you know, will help them to continue to grow. Okay, we don't do that. We don't, of course, we'll deal with that when we're dealing with others, but also us, because it allows you to grow.
Yes.
It allows God to bring more people into your life that you're going to be able to help, maybe disciple. But what if you're always holding something against somebody?
Good.
What if you're always, and you know, we've had over the years, you know, you can't be around as long as we have and not had some goofy people. You know, we've had goofy people. Every church has goofy people. Don't be goofy. God wants spiritual fruit, not spiritual fruit cakes. All right? See, I know when to get your attention and how to get your attention. No, but we've had those people over the years that they'd look down on people because you're not as spiritual as I am. Sweetheart, you're not spiritual. You're goofy.
Yes.
You're just weird. God doesn't make weird people. Satan does. Or your flesh did. Amen. But part of this forbearing with one another, it's learning how to walk in forgiveness, learning how to be stay in that anointing that you can, all right, listen, you sound like an idiot, but Lord, don't hold this against them right now. They're growing.
Right.
However, if you're still saying that same thing in a house like this 30 years later, the problem's you.
Yes.
You got to grow up. You got to mature. But in the meantime, while you're getting there, Lord, help me to just let this, deal with this, give them grace, show them grace, allow them time to grow. And they do. We do. That's how this works in the kingdom. Could you imagine if Jesus cursed everybody who fell short on his own ministry team? We'd have no 12 apostles. Peter tried to take off a guy's head. The sons of thunder. Let's call down fire from heaven and kill them all. Imagine having that on your ministry team. Well, I want to go to the church for prayer because the Bible says those that are sick among you call upon the elders of the church, but I'm afraid they're going to kill me. No, we got to forbear with one another. You can't forbear with anybody. Have tolerance, understanding, unless you have that anointing that comes with forgiveness. They work hand in hand. Amen. To be able to help and allow and people to grow in and with God. Can you say amen, church?
Amen.
Amen. Now, let's just really quick here. Matthew, I told you to go there. You've been sitting there for 5 minutes. See, just like the time is different between God and man, time is different between your pastor and the congregation. I know you think the other. One day is like 1,000 years with him, but it's only a couple of minutes for me. Matthew 18. I kind of already referenced this point, but Matthew 18, starting in verse 21, the disciple Peter at this point, but later on would become the apostle Peter. He says, "Then came Peter to him," Matthew 18, 21. "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times? I think Pete thought he was big and bad. Seven times. Yeah. That's good. Then I can sick him, right, Lord? I think his heart dropped. And just like that service, that Tuesday night all those years ago, I think Peter sucked air, as well as the other disciples, when Jesus said, no, not seven, but I say 7 times. No, 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 don't go any further. 7 was bad enough. If you say 2 times, 14, I don't know if I can do 14. And then he said 7 times, 70. You can't tell me that they all went, we're all dead. We can't do this. Are you kidding me? How? How is that possible? In your flesh, it's not. This is why we need the anointing. This is why we need God's anointing. But verse 22, Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until 70 times 7. Now, I say this joking around, but I'm not joking around, but at the same time joking around. if you keep putting yourself in a position to be offended 490 times, no offense, you deserve it. That's another whole message by itself. You know, use a little wisdom. God never said become a doormat to people. But the heart of why Jesus is saying this is what I said earlier. This is not so much forgiving people so that they change from what they're doing. This is more about you getting to a place in a position you can't be offended.
Yes. Awesome.
Which was my statement. Jesus never said, Father, forgive the Pharisees. Never said, Father, forgive the scribes. Never said, Father, forgive the Sadducees. Never said, Father, forgive Herod. Never said, Father, forgive. Never said, Father, forgive. Why? Because he couldn't be offended. Therefore, there's no place where Jesus had to say, Lord, I need to deal with me right now. Let me release this because I'm not going to pursue them. I'm not going to put this against them. I'm not going to go after them. I'm not going to seek my own vengeance now because he couldn't be offended. Now on the cross when he said, Father, forgive them, that was for us.
Amen.
So 70 times 7 is not for them, Peter, it's for you.
Yeah.
That you can get to a point in a place where you just can't be offended.
Yes.
And you're smart enough not to put yourself in a position where you're offended.
Exactly.
Let me help some of you social mediaites.
Say it. Say it.
When you live on the stinking puke sites,
yeah.
Get ready for a life of offense.
Absolutely.
Get ready for Peter 7 times 70. Because all those things have turned into, I know what it started as, but all they've turned into is a cesspool of garbage, lies, filth, slander, attack, offense, that people are so mesmerized by, stupefied by, and then they become demonized by. So you better live in this place of, Lord, forgive them. Lord, forgive them. Why do you keep going back and reading what they're posting? You don't even know them. They don't know you. Who cares what they have to say? And I'm sorry. You may not like this statement. How pathetic is their life if they think that's what life is? Just pray for them. Give it to God and walk away. Because otherwise, you're going to spend the rest of your life, well, what'd they say? Ooh. Let me add my little. Oh, I can't believe they said that. You're going to spend the rest of your life send, 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 send. And Satan's laughing at you the whole time going, how ridiculous are you? Because do you think they really care about you? Do they really care about what you're saying or what you believe? No, they don't. The only thing it's doing is tormenting you. Frustrating you. Amen. But Jesus goes on to say, therefore, is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. That's what a good leader does. He brings account, just like our Jesus will do one day. Father God will do one day. They will take account of every human being on this planet. You and I, nobody's going to escape this. Every human being will stand before one judgment seat or the other. You and I determine down here which one we stand before. If you're standing before Father God, you're going to hell. I don't like that. I don't care. That's what God said. But if you're standing before the judgment seat of Christ, thank you, Jesus. That means you made it. But you're still going to be judged. Well, I heard somebody say there's no judgment. Well, that's your problem for listening to them. Because Jesus said you're going to be judged. The Bible says it. I don't care what your plumber said. He plays with sewage anyways. What do you think he's going to spew? So anyways, he took account of his servants. Verse 24, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed 10,000 talents. But for so much as he had not to pay, the Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. God's going to reconcile his accounts. See, this parable is talking about Father God and us. 26, and the servant, therefore, fell down, worshipped, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. See, the reality is you and I can't. You can't pay for what we were, who we were, what we did. There is no payment we can make for restitution of the sin, the carnal nature that we have. There is no payment we can make. God knows that. That's why he sent his son. That's why in two Sundays, this is one of the most important days to us as believers. Because not only did he die for us, but on Easter Sunday, he rose from the grave, proving that he is the Son of God, the living Savior, and that what he did is paid in full.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. 27, the Lord of the servant was moved. Thank you, Jesus. He was moved with compassion and loosed, or forgave, because it says, and forgave him of the debt. He didn't just say, all right, just go. When you can, pay me back. He said, you know what? Don't worry about it. The slate's been wiped clean. You don't owe me a thing. I've forgiven you. I am no longer going to pursue you in this matter, is what he said.
Yes.
Because it started. He's making a reconciling of the accounts. You owe me. I'm coming after you. Bring him to me. He owes me. And then he says, I've forgiven you. I will no longer pursue you. You've been forgiven. 28. See, this is where most of the church lives. We've been forgiven. We're blood bought. We're the redeemed. We sing our songs. We come to church. We know we've been forgiven. We believe we've been forgiven. But yet, we got the audacity to do what this servant did. 28, the servant, the same servant, went out and found, which means he pursued. He didn't run across. He didn't stumble. He pursued. One of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. 10,000. So these aren't the right numbers, but the reality of is $100,000. 100 bucks. This is what we're dealing with here. It's close, but it's not accurate. But we're talking about a large sum versus hardly anything. The same servant saying, pay me thou that thou owest. He pursued. Now, in one sense, the fact that he found his servant and said, hey, listen, you owe me, that part isn't as much the issue. It's what he did next. Again, we have to bring this into when we talk about how do you deal with people when they offend you. You have to deal with people if you can deal with them. So it's not the fact that he said that you owe me. It's the fact that what happens next. But the other part is the fact that he pursued him. That already shows his motive.
Yes.
That already shows his heart. And his fellow servant, verse 29, fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, I will pay thee all. Didn't we just hear this? Didn't we just see this? Of course we did. And this is what a lot of the body of Christ does to one another. And he would not, but went and cast him into the prison till he should pay the debt. Well, the picture is you can't pay a debt when you're in prison. You can't pay the price. This is no different than what the body of Christ does to one another today. Some of you remember this, you know, our first pastor, my father-in-law, he would talk about that person who claims forgiveness, but he has that person caged up in their heart.
Yeah.
That he talks big and bad. Oh, I forgive, I love, I love, I love. But then when it's convenient, privately, when he wants to, when he thinks to, he pulls that person out. You owe me. I can't believe you did that to me. Who do you think you are? Just takes them out, beats on them, mouths off about them. Today, it's so much easier with social sites. Because now we can just spew all our stuff all over the place and get other people offended with us about the person we're offended with. Because they offended me after all, so you should be offended. So join my offense. We've got a coalition going right now. We're going to be offended together about a person you don't even know. I can't even remember what they did, but we're going to be offended together. And if you're not offended with me, I'm going to be offended with you. So don't make me offended with you, be offended with me. This is where you and I live today. It's bad enough that's in the world.
Right.
It's sickening when it comes into the church.
Yes, sir.
And I'm not talking about sickening to me and you, though it should be. What do you think this goes up before our Father,
yes,
who forgave us of everything? When people won't let go of things, hold on to things, create things to be offended with. So anyways, he gets thrown into jail to pay the debt. You can't pay the debt. 31, and so when his fellow servants saw what was done, and they were very sorry, they were grieved. They were like, we can't believe this because we know. This guy's just been forgiven. How can you act that way? How can you act that way, believer? You've been forgiven, and you're going to hold this against? Well, I'm not holding anything against. Oh, really? Well, you jumped on that offense. I did not. Well, when you started posting things about things you have no idea about, giving your 2 cents, giving your endorsement or your whatever against, that had nothing to do with you. So that just proves that you do have offense running in you, that you look for reasons to be offended. You look for reasons to jump onto things that you should not be on. It just continues to fuel and feed, because that's what offense does. It breeds. It finds other people to be offended with. And the sicker, scarier part is it doesn't have to look very hard, because generally the offended person finds it. Just like that dead body. The moment that body dies, coroners have proven this, the moment that body dies, they've only got a short period of time to get the body embalmed and conditioned, because the moment that body dies, life itself was the barrier. Now all of a sudden every disease, sickness, issue, problem starts showing up trying to infiltrate that body. When offense comes, this is why the Bible says when a root of bitterness comes, it defiles many. When that offense starts taking root in somebody's, it's amazing. Everybody's attracted to it. Who can be offended? So they're very sorry. They're grieved. And it says, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. And the Lord said, after that he had called him unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee of all the debt because thou hast desireth me. Shouldest thou not also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth. He's ticked off. You remember who this story's about, right? This is Father God and you and me. Let's not find ourselves in this position. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors. You know where that is, right? That's hell. That he should pay all that was due unto them. When you're in hell, how do you think you're going to pay for? No offense to my fellow Catholics. We're not talking about purgatory. There is no paying and getting you out. Once you're there, you're there.
Right.
It's done.
Yeah.
Our Bible says that, and so does theirs. Mm-hmm. It's a place that doesn't exist.
Right.
The closest thing that we could find to purgatory in either was paradise,
yeah,
where Jesus went, where Abraham's bosom, as we know it in the scriptures. But that place has been emptied.
Yeah.
It's vacant. Nobody's there. They're in heaven now. That's another message for our Heaven and Hell series, which I think we need to have, because I'm pretty sure most people don't believe there's a hell anymore. So the Lord was ticked off, delivered him, that he should pay all that was due. So likewise, for those who say, well, this has nothing to do with us. Well, verse 35 says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brothers their trespasses. Going right back to Peter, it's not 7 times. It's 7 times 70. It's not a number. It's Pete, if you can be offended, you've got a problem. You got to walk. You got to learn how to forgive. You got to learn how to give the charges over to God. Let God deal with it. You got to stop pursuing, Peter. Stop pursuing this. Stop going after this. Stop chasing this. Give it to God. Now, we see through the scriptures that they did. They learned how to do this. You don't die being crucified upside down. You don't die being speared, filleted alive, all the different ways that the original 12 died. You don't die that way preaching the gospel if you're still harboring offense. Because in that moment, I think even God would say, well, I understand why they're calling down the fire from heaven right now. Helps minister. Stephen,
yes.
You're not being stoned alive for preaching the gospel and yet saying, Father, don't lay this at their feet.
Yes.
Unless that anointing.
That is so good.
That you're not offended.
Amen.
You're not a doormat. There is no Bible verse that says because you're a believer, because you're a Christian, you're to be a doormat to this world or to angry, offended Christians. There is no verse that says that. But you have to walk under that anointing that says, Lord, I'm not holding on to this. I got to give this to you. It takes his anointing because it lifts burdens. It breaks yokes that you're no longer bound to those things because most of the time they've moved on. And you're still bound. Most of the time, they've forgotten all about you. They've moved on to some other target. They've moved on to some other person. Or they don't even realize they offended you, which is even worse. And yet you're living in misery because you're holding on to something that you didn't just give to God. Because you're still pursuing it somehow, some way. Amen. I think one of the coolest stories that I've ever heard when it comes to forgiveness, in dealing with forgiveness and allowing the anointing to flow in your life, is Dodie Osteen. Some of you know this story, you know this account. She just recently went home to be with the Lord in the last several months. Back in the early 80s, mid 80s, she was diagnosed with cancer. Of course, this is in the 80s where they don't have what they have now to help fight cancer in the natural. This is back in the early 80s where she's diagnosed with cancer and they say she's going to die. She got in her prayer closet because she was obviously a pastor's wife. She knows the Lord. If you don't know who Dodie Osteen is, this is the mother of Joel Osteen. Her and her husband John and Dodie started Lakewood Church that Joel now pastors. So back in the 80s, she's diagnosed with cancer. God deals with her and tells her to go back and forgive everybody from her past. Now, past meant those past members from her church. Now, the church is massive today, but Pastor John built that massive work.
Yes.
That massive work was already going in her day and growing at that point. How on earth can you remember every person who's ever left? How on earth can you hang on to every person that's ever hurt, lied, betrayed, or maybe I offended. Lord, I don't want to be in that position that maybe I offended and that's why they left. The Lord told her to forgive everyone, which means she had, and she did, she went on campaign. Every person that she could hunt down, she called. Lord, you know, forgive me. She didn't say, I'm dying of cancer. God told me to call you to ask for forgiveness and he might spare my life. She just said, you know, listen, you know, if I did anything that hurt, wronged, forgive me. But within herself, I release the charges. I'm forgiving everybody. Because part of it was, forgive me if I've hurt. Forgive me if I did. But I let the charges go. Let the charges go. That was in the 80s. And they didn't give her very much time. That was in the 80s. She just went home to be with the Lord. Not only was she healed, it didn't go into remission. It was removed.
Yes.
Because when she learned, and it wasn't that she had to learn how to, she's a pastor's wife. Now, going back to some of my little kind of joking around, I think it's harder, not for the pastor, but for the wife. Because they have to sit there and watch what we go through, even though she does this with me. She has to watch what people do, what they say, how they act, what they do, when all we're trying to do is help. Now, we've got a small little church. I'm not knocking our church. Imagine theirs, thousands, thousands. Even though you can, and everybody who knew her, you know, and everybody who walked with her said that she was the sweetest woman on the face of the planet. And God said, you still gotta let these things go. You gotta make sure this is cleared from your heart. Because if you don't, any unforgiveness will stop the anointing flowing that you need in your body for that healing right now. She did. He did. We got decades more with her. Just went home to be with the Lord at an old age. Amen. God's no respecter of persons. If he'll do it for one, he'll do it for another. This is how the kingdom works. This is one of the great keys, not the only. And I keep saying this in every one of these messages. This is one of the great keys, not the only one, on how to get the anointing and keep the anointing flowing in your life. That God can do everything that he said he wants to do to bring healing, restoration, peace, direction, wisdom, and the list goes on. But we got to learn how to walk in forgiveness, because if you don't, Peter, you're going to be swinging that sword every chance you get. If you don't learn how to walk in forgiveness and have God help you, you're going to be trying to call down fire from heaven and hearing from heaven. You don't know what spirit you're of.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
One last thing. Because I know, because some people get weirded out and they think different things. You know, you don't always have to go to the person
right.
to say, I forgive you.
Right.
In some cases, you might not want to. Well, doesn't the Bible say if you have aught against your brother, leave it, go to your brother? Yeah, that if you can. But I hope you have enough wisdom to realize, I know they're not going to receive me. I know they're not going to hear me. Lord, do I need to go or can I just give this to you?
Amen.
And let God tell you, go.
Yes.
Or just, no, just give it to me. Just release it from your heart. There are some people that I've tried to go to, try to fix. They don't want it. So now it's like, no, Lord, I give it to you. I'm not pursuing this anymore, nor am I pursuing them, nor do I need to go to them.
Amen.
They don't want to. They're not going to. So I'm not going to cast my pearls before swine,
Amen.
But I'm going to make sure I'm right with you. So I'm not going to pursue this. I'm just going to give this to you. Go to the Lord. He'll tell you. Now, if he tells you to go, go. But it's okay to ask him, Lord, do I need to go? There are some people you can't go to anymore. You know why? Their bodies are 6 feet under. Because there are some of you, I'm going to pray for you in just a moment. This is why I'm saying some of these things. There are some of you that you're mad and offended with people who have left early. Some of you just know they got their promotion, they're in heaven, I'll catch up to them. That's where we want to live. That's, you know, that doesn't mean things haven't changed, doesn't mean that, you know, we've got to adjust, doesn't mean that you have that, man, I miss them. Of course we miss them. But you know how many people are offended with those who died early, died prematurely, at least in our timing? And they're holding it against God. They're holding it against that loved one. How dare you leave me? I understand that statement. But to live in that place of unforgiveness, do you think they're saying, I'm sorry? We don't know what it's like. Have they already crossed the gates? If they have, they're standing on. They're not even hearing you right now. I made it. Wow. The Bible didn't even describe it. But we're going to catch up to them. But it also takes that anointing to be able to let those things go, to say, all right, Lord, I don't know why. That's okay. There's some things this side of heaven we'll never understand, we'll never have answers for. That's okay. If God brings the answer, praise God. If he doesn't, praise God. I just know one day I'm going to go stand before him, and then I won't care what the answer is, because I'll be there. But some of this forgiveness that we need, that anointing, because people are bound.
Yes.
They may not be visiting the tombstone, but they're bound to the tombstone. They're bound to the tragedy. They're bound to the event. They're bound to. I think about this one preacher. He's kind of a friend of mine. Sent to a city. Installed in a church, the church grew, they went to another building, then that building, people were offended because things were changing, they didn't like it, so the people of the church literally shut the church down. Thank God that pastor's still pastoring and still preaching, but he went on, moved on, but every time he talks about that city that he came from, you can tell he's just harboring unforgiveness towards the people and towards the There are things in this life that you just can't stop. There are things that people are going to do that you can't explain. How could you do? Why would you do? This is where forgiveness is. It's not saying that was okay.
Right.
It's saying, Lord, I'm not pursuing this any longer.
Exactly.
I can't. I need your help, because when I no longer pursue this healing, restoration, peace, joy, all the things that God wants to bring in your life will start to come back.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
And
I could keep going. There's a whole bunch of different things that you're probably thinking right now. Yeah, okay, yeah, I got this thing. Yeah, this one did, this one said. Okay, well, good. May today be the last time you think about that.
Yeah.
May today be the last time that you deal with that. Amen.
Yeah.
Would you all stand to your feet right now and lift your hands to heaven? Father, we know this. We barely scratch the surface of this topic. But Lord, I thank you right now. I believe I said what you told me to say. I believe I dealt with the things you told me to deal with. And I believe that right now, because of this, you're able to minister to those right now in here that are dealing with, that they recognize, and wait a minute, I'm harboring some things. I'm holding on to some things. So Lord, I thank you right now that not only your word has been preached, but you said that you would prove your word preached. So Lord, I thank you right now that you want to bring healing. You want to bring restoration. You want to bring forgiveness. So Lord, I speak that over everybody in here right now. If we're dealing with things, people, issues, problems, we're holding on to offenses, whatever they may be, how big or small, doesn't matter. Lord, I thank you right now that your anointing is here even right now to begin to minister and to bring hope, strength, healing, and peace to those things. Lord, I thank you right now that you're a master at this. You're an expert at this. You know how to restore. You know how to fix. So, Father, I'm asking right now in the name of Jesus that you bring help to those that think that they're bound. No, it's your anointing that lifts the burdens. It's your anointing that breaks those yokes that have had them chained to these things all those years. A failed career, a disappointment, a marriage that went sour, a relationship that went south. It doesn't matter. You can bring peace and healing to all of them. Lord, today is the day that we just lay it at your feet. We lay it at your altar. We may not be coming to the actual altar, but we can lay it down at your feet right now in our seats, determining today when I walk out of here, I'm not bringing this home with me anymore. I'm leaving it here. And in its place, Lord, I'm thanking you that you're going to bring healing. I thank you that you're going to bring peace. I thank you that restoration is coming. So, Father, I thank you right now. I speak over all of us right now. There's a reason why you told us in the last days that offense would be one of the greatest enemies of the day. So, Father, I thank you for healing taking place even in here right now. As we lay these things down. Now, I know there's some people in here, so I'm speaking to you right now. There have been those that know this. They've been trying to do this. They just can't seem to get through this. But I believe in Jesus' name, the anointing that's here today started in the pre-service prayer before the doors even opened, setting the atmosphere. I believe during pre-service prayer, it was being set up. During worship, amplified. Tithes and offerings increasing. The word going forth, reminding for the anointing right now to bring peace to those storms that have been raging all these years. To help to finally let go. Does not say that those things were ever right or will ever be right, but we can let them go today and give them to God so God can begin to restore in Jesus' name. Now your part is to say, Lord Jesus. Say it like you mean it. Lord Jesus, today, I lay down all offense, all unforgiveness. I'm not taking this home with me. But today, I am receiving your anointing that's going to bring health, strength, peace into my life, into my soul, and back into my spirit. Today is my day of freedom. And I purpose to let go of all those things that have left me bound, kept me bound, and trying to keep me there.
Today,
I'm done.
Today,
I'm walking
upright,
stronger,
taller,
with more peace,
more
joy,
and more direction
because of your anointing.
I purpose today
to receive all of it.
In Jesus' name.
Now, if you really believe that, shout amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Now, let me just help some of you.
If you're new to all of this,
get ready.
Satan's a jerk.
He'll try to remind you of the stupid stuff in the garbage.
He'll try to bring it back up.
Just cast him down.
Yes.
Cast those thoughts down.
No,
I dealt with it today. It's God's. I'm done with it. I'm moving forward.
Shut up and go away.
Yeah.
Slam the door in his face.
Yes. Yeah.
Slap on, just like we used to do in the mail.
I know.
I think Justin would hate this.
Return to sender.
Yeah.
We don't want it. Take it back.
Yeah.
Amen.
You can do that.
You have the anointing
to do that
in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Father,
I thank you right now
that
what we just prayed,
we're going to
walk and live.
We're going to
walk in a greater freedom
than we have
in a very long
time.
And Lord,
I thank you right now,
it's going to continue
to increase in our
lives.
In
Jesus'
mighty name.
Lord, I
declare Psalm 91
protection over
all of us as we
leave here.
Psalm 23.
Lord, I
thank you that we're going to
live in victory.
We're leaving
this valley of death
and darkness, and we are
charging.
Say it, I'm charging.
His mountains
of victory.
In
Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen.
Thanks for joining us at Higher Ground Ministries. We pray today's message encouraged your heart and helped you grow in your walk with the Lord. Want to worship with us in person? Our services are Sundays at 10 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. Learn more at hgministries.org and be sure to share this message with someone who needs encouragement today. Until next time, keep your eyes on Jesus and keep climbing higher.